Morning. Am I on? I'm on. I'm good. All right. I never know about technology. It doesn't like me, and I don't like it. How was your week? Was it? Mine too. I got to admit, sometimes I go to God's Word in trying to prepare what to share with you guys, and it kind of jumbles up, and I'm not exactly sure. This week was not like that. God really spoke to me through His Word this week, and I'm hoping I can share that with you, and it will have the same impact on you that it had on me. And sometimes I recognize that that is circumstantial, that, you know, depending on what you might or might not be going through in your life or where you're at in your walk with God, you know, God uses His Word and His Holy Spirit to take His Word and apply it to your life. I mean, if you're reading it, right, you got to be reading it. And there's hope in there, there's promises in there, there's warnings in there. But what it is God trying to transform us, right, so that we can truly understand the reality of our existence and who we are. Okay. And that's really important. I got to go to a conference with Bill Bronski this week down in Bellevue, and it was put on by the Barna Institute. It was basically the state of the church, and Barna is a research organization, and so they put together all this data through the different surveys that they do. It was very interesting to see the decline of people in the United States going to church, and or even saying I affiliate with God at all. Or I identify myself as a Christian. Now, I know a lot of people in the United States think, well, because I live in the United States and maybe in a particular state, the Bible Belt or whatever, well, I identify as a Christian. But so I recognize that not all the numbers are right. But it was very interesting to see some things that are new, and that is that Gen Z, the 18 to 24-year-olds, are coming back to God. Praise God for that. Yeah, praise God for that. But we look and we see our own circumstances and think, man, sometimes the world is really a tough place to be. At times it really is. And so this was me, and I was thinking about this as I was going through Genesis 15, 1 through 6. And I'm going to read that with you and for you, and then we're going to talk about it. And I'm going to be asking you to identify with Abram for a little bit, okay? And just think about, you know, here's Abram's life, and is that kind of the way it's been for me? And did it have kind of the same results in my mind and my life that maybe it had in Abram's life? So hopefully as we go through this, we prayed ahead of time that God is speaking to you the way He spoke to me this week, all right? And so you'll see that my sermon title is actually the same as it was 2 weeks ago. Thank you, Ron, so much for preaching last week too. It was a great message, wasn't it? Really good, and it had some excellent things about Melchizedek and how that refers to Jesus and the hope that was given. That was Abraham too, right? Abram, and here he got to identify with Melchizedek, who was a type of Christ that was coming up. What a wonderful thing to be thinking about. So anyway, here I am trying to follow God in a broken world. Now, are you trying to follow God? Are you trying to follow God? Is it easy? No, it's not easy because we live in a broken world, which means parts of us are still broken. The world we live in is still broken and sinful and horrible things are going on. And other people around us are broken. And so there are consequences of that, right? And there are consequences of that as we trying to follow the pathway of our, not, you know, we've been saved, but we're trying to follow that pathway of being transformed and staying on God's track for us in our lives. And it's not always easy because of that. And so here we're going to be talking with about two separate things, but very specific things, dealing with hardship and then God's timing versus basically our timing. Okay, we're going to see that in the life of Abram, and then hopefully you can apply it to yourself. So, first thing I'm going to do is I'm going to read you the passage. After these things, now we're going to talk about after these things, the word of Jehovah came to Abram in a vision, saying, "Fear not, Abram. I am your shield and your exceeding great reward." And Abram said, "Lord God, what are you going to give me? What will you give me since I'm going childless and the steward of my house is Eleazar of Damascus?" Basically what he's saying there is, I still don't have a child yet. And so therefore now the heir of my life here in my household is going to be this guy Eleazar, and he's not even around here. He lives in Damascus, and so I don't understand this, God. I am confused. What is it that you are promising to give me? Because look, I don't have a kid yet. And behold, and Abram said, "Behold, you have given me no seed to me, and behold, one born in my house is my heir." And so he's saying, look, God, there were some promises, and we're going to talk about that, and it ain't working out. So I don't understand, God, what is going on here about the promises? Because you promised me some stuff, and it's just not happening. It's certainly not happening in my time. And so then in verse 4, "And behold, the word of Jehovah came to him, saying this, 'This one shall not be your heir, but he that shall come forth out of your own bowels shall be your heir.'" Basically, I'm going to give you a kid. And he brought him outside and said, "Look now towards the heaven." So he says, look, I don't know where he was inside at, but he was going to say, "Look, I got something I want to show you, God." So come on outside, look up at the heavens and count the stars, if you're able to count them. And I'm sure that he can't, but it's a metaphor. And he said to him, "So shall your seed be, or your offspring be, or your generations after you shall be." And he believed in Jehovah. And he counted it to him, and God counted it to him for righteousness. So what's going on here? Without context, that passage maybe doesn't mean a whole lot to you, because it really spoke to me. But here's what I know. Abraham was chosen. It says that. Says that clear back in, it says back in verse 11, or chapter 11, which we've already gone through, that Abraham was chosen by God. And in fact, what we know that Abraham was chosen, and he wasn't really even a righteous guy at the time. He lived down in the Ur of the Chaldees, and it said his father and his family worshipped other gods. So why? Why him? I don't know. Abraham was also called. He said, God says, "I got a plan for you, Abram." And you know how many chapters in the Bible talk about Abram's story? 15. So is Abraham a pretty big deal in God's plan? Yes, he is. See, God had a plan for Abram's life. And then Abram is given an opportunity to live out that plan in real life. And God says, "I got something I need you to do. I want you to go up, and I want you to go into the promised land. I want you to take possession of it, and I'm going to make a great nation." And we're going to talk about the promises. So during that time, from the time that God calls Abram till the time that he dies, he dies at age 175. There's this plan. Okay, during that time. And Abram has to work his way through God's plan. Now, are there going to be consequences of being broken? And are there going to be consequences of living in a broken world? And is bad stuff going to happen during that plan that God has for Abram's life? We've already seen some. I'm going to show some of those to you. And believe me, there's more to come. And so, this we know. I'm called, I'm chosen, and God has a plan for my life. But it isn't all going to work out the way I want, in the timing I want, if you're Abraham. See, Abraham's been promised some stuff by God, and he wants to trust God, and sometimes he does, but other times, no, he doesn't. And Abraham is expecting God to keep his promises, but there are some circumstances that are going to occur, some of them good, some of them bad, and the timing is certainly not what Abraham has in mind. So do you think, we're going to talk about these, because I think, here's what I think. I think because some of these things happen, okay, God, I hear your voice. There was no scripture at this point. He's just listening to God. God is communicating with him. And here it says at the beginning of this, says in a vision, before we don't know, but he's speaking to Abraham, and he says, "I have a plan for you," right? And so Abraham is pretty sure that God is bringing him, God's calling him, God's using him, and God, you have some things for me to do. And yet then why is all this other stuff happening, God? I just don't understand it. Why is it taking so long? How many of you ever been there? All right? See, that's where I'm at. It's like, God, I'm trying to be in your pathway, but what about all this other stuff that seems to be always getting in the way and going wrong? And when are you going to fix my life for me? And when are you going to fix the lives of the people around me? And when are you going to give me all the things? God, I'm just I'm asking and I'm praying and I'm saying, and you know what are the three options of God's answering prayer? Yes. No. This is the one I hate. Wait. Because I'm not a very patient guy. And praying. And saying, God, God, why? Why now? Or why not now? Or why are you fixing this? Or why is this happening? And God just says, I got a plan for your life, Tim. Now I can go to the Bible. I can read chapters 11 through 25 and see how Abram's life planned out, right? And how it played out in real life. And so I can see the end in the beginning and I can say, hey, man, in the end, it all works out. But when we're here in this life and it's you and me, then sometimes we have problems, right? I mean, we have problems with why is it so hard and why are you not fixing it in my time frame? God does have a plan for each one of us. It doesn't always work out the way we want. As far as playing it out. Now, so that's the problem, see, because in this very beginning, we're going to go back and read this again, but we're going to see that God makes this incredible statement in response to Abram. Okay, so let's go back and look. So what is it now? God calls Abram from the Ur of the Chaldees. He says, you're my guy. I want you to go up and you're going to go into the promised land. I'm going to make a great nation of you. So here are the promises that God makes to Abram in Genesis chapter 12. And then in 13, he reiterates the one about in a little more detail about how he's going to make a nation out of it. So he says, I'm going to give you an heir. So Abraham is married. He when he leaves the Ur of the Chaldees, he's already married to Sarai. And he says, look, I'm going to give you an heir. And of that heir and of your descendants, I'm going to make a great nation. And in fact, so great, you won't even be able to count them all. Okay, so guess what? If you've accepted Christ, you are a seed of Abraham. You're part of that. It's still going. Okay, so then God says, I'm going to bless you. And he does, kind of financially and materially. And I'm going to bless those. I'm even going to bless those who bless you. The people who are good to you, I'm going to be good to them. And then he says, and all families on the earth are going to be blessed through you. You know what he's talking about there? Talking about Jesus. Because, see, Abram's line is going to be the line of the Messiah. And so all the world. Now, Abram doesn't understand that yet. He doesn't know what's going on, but he's saying, hey, well, gosh, that's pretty cool, God. You're going to bless, I mean, the entire earth, the families are going to, something is going to happen in my line that is going to affect everyone. What a great thing that is. And then here's the last one. And then he's going to give him possession of the promised land. I want you to go to this place. I want you to live there. I want you to take it over. I'm going to give you, and later on, he tells him kind of the parameters of that. This is going to happen later on. We're going to be looking at it pretty soon. Of the parameters of that, what exactly this promised land looks like. And it's all yours, man. I'm going to give it to you. And your descendants. You see those things in those chapters of Genesis. Okay, so do we have promises like Abram? Actually, you know what? You could identify, so a lot of these are metaphorical. You could identify with all of these promises. So are you an heir? Yes, you are, if you're a child of God. Okay, is God blessing you? Yes, he is. Can he bless others through you? Yes, he can. Are all the families of the earth being blessed? Well, it's through Jesus, but because we are now a child of God and we have Jesus, then God can be blessing everyone and making that available through us now, because we are now followers of Christ. We can spread the word, and that promise that was given to Abraham can continue to thrive on as we are part of it. And then are we going to get possession of the promised land? They can have the Middle East. What's the real promised land? It's the new heaven and the new earth. Do you get to possess part of that? You betcha, man. We're going to be living in the new heaven and new earth. So we got to look at, this is the end of Abraham's story, that God was kind of giving him some types and symbols and metaphorical conclusions and saying, guess what? This really means these other things. And these people coming after you are going to understand that. But right now I'm giving you these kind of material things, and I'm going to make you a great nation. I'm going to give you an heir and all that. So God has made all these promises, and he's going to work them out. Now, Does Abraham have some issues along the way as God is working out the promises that he gave to Abraham and his seed? What have we seen so far? Okay, number one, God calls Abraham. He has to leave everything he knows. Like, man, I'm pretty stable here. I like it. And you're saying, what? I got to leave. I got to go someplace I don't even know. I got to leave everything that's comfortable and that I know. Guess what? Can God ask you the same thing? What do you think? You betcha. Are there times when God says, trust me, I got a plan for your life? Probably isn't going to be what you were thinking. But if he hasn't, probably because you're not listening. Because God has a plan for your life. And sometimes it's leaving the things that are safe for us and going where God says, and we don't even understand why. His father dies. Have you lost people that you love? I have. It's painful. And I'm thinking, God, why? Why do I have to go through that? In the middle of me struggling to follow your plan. Famine drives Abram and his family out of the promised land and into Egypt. Like, God, you gave me this plan. You said go here. You said do this. And I get there, and this is what you do. Really? Really? I mean, have you ever been there? Come on, folks. God, I'm trying to follow you, and this is what happens in my life. You allowed this to happen, or this broken person to wound me, or this horrible thing. This is a, you know, the world is broken, and so famine occurs. What famine is in your life? And so you got to think. I'm getting a little frustrated here. This is Abram. I don't understand. I'm confused. You told me to go here, and then you're allowing all this junk to happen. And so I go there, there's no rain, and there's no crops, and I got to leave. I got to leave this place you sent me. And I go down into Egypt, and then, man, I'm scared. I got this really hot wife, and they're going to kill me because they're going to want her. And so let's just lie. And so his wife becomes somebody else's wife. We're not going to go into the details of that. And then he gets come back out of there, and God says, no, go back into the land I told you. Come on, go back. And then he has to, he actually did so well in Egypt with all of his stuff, that is, he comes back and he said, all right, we got to split up with Lot. Lot's been with him the whole way. You guys remember the story? We talked about this a few weeks back. And so he has to kind of give the portion of it, and Lot takes the best part of it. And so God's like, no, I gave it to you. I'm not sure you're supposed to give it away, but because you got so incensed with all of the stuff that you had, now you have to split up. And then war breaks out, and that was kind of what was a couple weeks ago. These four kings going against these five kings, and evidently there was a lot of stuff going on before that because they were oppressing these other people, groups, and nations, and so they rebelled, started this big battle. And within this battle, then Lot is kidnapped. They take everything that he owns, and then they take him into servitude, and then Abram has to leave his home and all the stuff he has and go back and take 300 guys and fight four of the most vicious armies in the world at the time. God, really? Is that part of your plan for me? How you're going to make me this great nation? And I got to go rescue this knucklehead Lot who goes and lives by these evil people over in Sodom, and he loses all of his stuff. Now it's up to me. Now I have to go. Now, God gives him victory with 300 guys over four massive armies. So you know God's working in it. But think about that. Think about that. You know, has God said, no, look, I need you to go do war over here? Well, God, you kind of settled me over here, and I'm pretty comfortable. And why do I got, it's not my fault he's over there. It's not my fault he got kidnapped. Why do I have to risk my life and go fix his problem? So you got to think that some of those questions are in Abram's mind. How do I know that? Well, we'll go back and look. But you got to think that that some of the circumstances and the timing. So Abram is 75 years old when he leaves Haran. You know, he's supposed to go into the promised land right away, but he hangs out with his dad in Haran, and then his dad dies, and then he comes back down into the promised land. And he was 75. So right about now, and we're going to know this because they tell us when Abram fathers Ishmael. He's 86. Okay, so this time frame is probably about a year before that, and so a lot of the Bible scholars are saying, yeah, it's probably about a 10-year period of time that's gone by. Now, this is not when God first called Abram, but from when the time that he goes up to Haran, his dad dies, and he comes back down in, and he goes into Egypt, comes back up again, and all this nonsense is going on. So 10 years at least is gone by, and probably way more than that, because by the time they left Ur of the Chaldees, we don't know how many years that was. And so my point is this, timing. This has taken a long time. God, you got this plan, and some of it is, I think, Abram's just a little bit stubborn. He doesn't want to do it God's way because he's supposed to leave his family, and that's what God said initially, leave your home and go to the land I'm promising you. Well, I'm going to take my dad, I'm going to take my nephew, I'm going to go up to Haran with my dad and wait till he dies, then I'll actually do what you want. So timing-wise, it probably isn't working out very good for him either. So he has all these things that happen. And so timing-wise, we see that. So he goes with his father, 75, 10 years goes by, and then here's God responding to an Abraham. I think at least we know he's afraid, and God is going to give him some things. God is going to give him some things right here in verse 1 that are absolutely incredible. Because what is necessary for you and for me to deal with the hardships of this life and to understand why, God, are you allowing this to happen in this, or why, God, are you taking so long to answer my prayer and get me out of this mess? Or why is it, God, that you're just not fixing the people around me like I thought you would when I prayed and I prayed and I prayed? The same kind of frustration and anger, I think, is being felt by Abram. And fear, too, I think. I think, you know, God, if you let this thing with Lot happen and I got to go rescue him and put myself in danger with these four armies who've basically taken over the entire known world at the time, what else am I going to have to deal with? And so here's what God's response is. after these things, the timing of God's plan, the circumstances that God allowed to happen as Lot or as Abram is playing out that plan in real life. After those things, this word from God comes to Abram in a vision, and it says this: fear not. Are you afraid? Are you afraid of dying? Are you afraid of what might be coming around the corner? Are you afraid that maybe some of the horrible things that God has allowed in your life, maybe someone you love died, maybe you're sick, maybe you have cancer, maybe you've gone through some horrible thing with your family or your marriage or your business or whatever, and you just think, man, God, I don't feel safe. I don't feel safe. You made all these promises to me that you're with me, that you're gonna save me, and I get that, and I'm not worried about being the safe part. But in the meantime, God, I don't feel safe here because you've allowed these things. And then when I ask you to fix them, you don't fix them when I want you to do it. Here's what God says. He says, don't be afraid. Here's what he's gonna do. This is the most incredible thing. This verse, one, just spun me around. Some of it we talked about even yesterday, men's breakfast. Abram, don't be afraid. Because here's what I need to do, Abram. I need to readjust your perspective. I need you to see the reality of your situation. And it's not based on these circumstances, and it's not based on your thinking of how this is supposed to work out in time. Two things. I am your shield. See, this is what I started out. I usually use the ESV. I use the Modern King James because I didn't like their thing. They said, I am your shield, and you will receive an exceedingly great reward. And that's not what it says. That's not what it says in the Hebrew. What it says is this: I, God, am your shield. When you are afraid about the circumstances of this life, I am your shield. I am your protector. I am always there. Even when the circumstances happen and it doesn't seem like I am there, I am there. Abram, quit looking at your circumstances and look at me. Amen. And this is what he says. And this one is amazing. He says, I am your reward. Not, I'm going to give you a reward. No, you're missing it, Abram. See, the relationship that I have given you, that is really the reward. If I am in this life and I am expecting circumstances and timing to be the reward, then I am missing out on the reality of my situation. My reward is that Jesus Christ died so I can have a relationship with the God of this world today. Amen. You know what part of heaven is? Heaven is having a relationship with God with no brokenness at all. Okay, but now I'm still broken. There's still broken things around me. But what am I hoping to gain here? A relationship with God that Jesus Christ paid for. He is the purpose of my life. God and a relationship with God is the purpose of the life of every believer. I, says God, am your reward. Meaning, a relationship with me. Forget all of the details. Forget all the circumstances. Don't be afraid. I got your back. What you really need is relationship with me. And then Abram says, well, I don't get that, God. Hey, look, you promised to give me a kid. And now I'm going to have nothing. You got to think God's like, dude, you're not getting this, are you? You're not getting it. Because all you're doing now is complaining. And you're expecting the circumstances to be your way and the timing of those circumstances to be your way. And so you're a little bit disappointed here because, look, God, look, you're telling me that you're the answer to my problems, but I'm telling you right now, you haven't answered. God says, well, yeah, you know, Abram, look, the answer is a relationship with me. You already have it. Everything else is going to work out. Trust me. So Abram says, God, are you actually going to give me the kid? And he says, you have given me no seed, and behold, the one born in my house, this Eleazar, is going to be my heir. And behold, the word of Jehovah came back to him. He said, no, look, I made you the promises. I'm going to give you a child. And then he takes him outside, and he says, okay, look up. See the heavens. You can't count the stars. I'm trying to make a point with you. Are you going to trust me? Okay. Let's relate. My life, difficult. Things aren't actually happening in the time frame that I would like them to happen. Do I need to go out and look at the stars? Where do I go? Where do I go for the affirmation that God's giving Abram? His word. See, I need to go back when I'm feeling overwhelmed, when I'm feeling that life is just too hard, when I'm a little bit ticked off at God that he isn't answering my prayers in the time frame that I want. And I got to go back to here. And just like Abram looked up at the stars, and God says, see that? I'm going to do that for you. Now, this one I really like. It's 199 promises of God. You know, you can read through here. I suggest you do. But if you're just looking for the promises, I'll buy you one of these. And sometimes I just got to go back and say, now, life doesn't feel right, God. Can you help me out here? For by grace you've been saved through faith. That's not of your own doing, Tim. It's a gift from me. In my Father's houses are many mansions. If it weren't so, I would have told you. And I'm going to prepare a place for you, Tim. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and receive you unto myself, so that where I am, you may be also. John 14, 2 and 3. See, all of those are in there. For me, when I'm dealing with the frustration and sometimes the anger of the circumstances of my pathway that God has for me. Now, do I know how this all turns out in the end? Do you? Read the end. It's wonderful. And so can I take myself away from the perspective of trying to deal with circumstances and brokenness in this life and the timing that I wish God would, could you just kind of line up with what I need or what I think I need? And I got to go back to this one in verse 1 and say, Tim, don't be afraid. I'm working all things together for your good. Oh, and I love you. And as hard as this is, I need you sometimes to look at the end of the story, okay, so you can set your perspective on this and recognize I do have you. And in the end, you are going to be mine. And you're going to spend the rest of eternity in a new heaven and a new earth. And you need to think about that sometimes when this part of life gets so hard. But trust me. That's what he's asking Abram, right? And here's the answer. This is so cool. So God puts up with Abram's stupid questioning him all the time. God, you said you were going to do this. God, you said how many of the promises do you think actually were fulfilled in Abram's lifetime? Did he get a kid? Yes, he did. Did he become a great nation? No. Did he get to take possession of the promised land? No. Most of the promises actually happen. They all happen, right? But most of them, besides actually getting a kid, which Abram decided not to wait on God and to take his wife's servant, and, hey, you know, God, you're not really putting out on time here, so I'm going to take this other woman and try to create an heir. So 75, 86, when he produces Ishmael, you know what time, you know, how old he was when he actually got Isaac? 100. Took him another, 14 more years of figuring out, I got to wait on God. No, I'll just take it into my own hands and I'll just create an heir myself, God. Thank you. Thank you for helping, but no. But here, at least, God is putting up with Abraham's issues, his bad attitude, his fear, and he's saying, look, okay, I'll give you some affirmation. Let's go outside here, take a look. See, I am going to do it. Do you trust me or not? How about you? It's easy. No, it's not easy. It's doable to understand that life is hard. Okay, I mean, it's not easy to understand it, or it's not easy to feel it, but it's true. I mean, life is hard, and I don't always understand why, right? And God is willing to put up with that to a certain extent, but then he says, I'm going to reaffirm why you can feel safe, why you can feel that you have a purpose, why you can feel that I have your back. Are you going to trust me? Well, I probably need to spend more time in your word, and especially maybe focusing on some of your promises. Because here's what it says in verse 6. And Abram believed Jehovah, and he counted it to him for righteousness. And you know what that means? Now, I had to spend some time on this verse. He says, when he says he counted it, you know, you kind of think, well, here, I'm cha-ching, I'm putting some money in your account. Not what it means. It means weaving. I am going to weave righteousness into your life and make you more like me. I'm gonna change you. When he says he counted it to him for his, it doesn't just mean, okay, later on when you go to heaven, I'm gonna say, look, you believed in me. No, what this means is right then, right there, God said, I'm going to weave righteousness into your life to make you and transform you to be more like me so that you can more fully appreciate the relationship that I want with you. So when life gets hard, when God doesn't answer in the time frame we want, we have to go back to the promises of God and believe and trust. If we want our relationship to grow, if we want God to weave righteousness into our life so that we can have that kind of relationship, so we can be closer to God in this life, he wants us to trust him. And then when we trust him, he becomes the reward. These are hard things to do. Life can be overwhelming. And it takes us away from the perspective that I really am okay because I know the rest of the story. And it's called living outside your circumstances. God rewards us for that. But we do have to trust him. Jack? Is Jack here? Yeah. There he is. He must come up and we're going to close in prayer. brother. Father, we need to trust you for our good. You honor that faith and the trust. In fact, the faith that we need in order to trust you is a gift from you in the first place, so we got nothing to boast about. But we really do need to trust you. So, Lord, we just pray that you will, even in the midst of the circumstances, help us to see the reality of who we are so that we can trust you and so that we won't be victims of the hardships that are around us and lose perspective on who we actually are. So we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.